الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى خاتمهم وسيدهم وأشرفهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وأن هذا صراطي مستقيما فاتبعوه ولا تتبعوا السبل فتفرق بكم عن سبيله ذلكم وصاكم به لعلكم تتقون، صدق الله العلي العظيم. Tonight and tomorrow I'm going to speak about the Islamic Sharia, meanings of the Islamic Sharia, the objective, and why there is so much fuss here in America regarding Islamic Sharia. Why we hear in the news by some Christian right and anti-Muslim leaders in this country, they say so many things about Islamic Sharia in America, and they say that Muslims are here to bring their religion, their culture, their hijab, the Sharia to this land. So we're going to discuss this over two nights, tonight inshallah and tomorrow, Saturday. There are two groups who hurt and do injustice to the Islamic Sharia. One group are the radicals and the fanatics within the Muslim Ummah. Some of those takfiris and others, they really do more hurt and harm to Islam than many non-Muslims. Those who call to implement Islamic Sharia, not here in America, not only here in America, but in the Middle East, in countries like Egypt, Algeria, Syria, other places, most of those people do not comprehend and do not understand the meaning of the Islamic Sharia. Neither they understand the objectives and goals, maqasid al-Sharia. Those who call for Islamic Khilafah to be restored, if you ask them, what is your objective? What do you want to do? What does Khilafah do to the Muslims? He says, the first thing, he comes to the appearance. He says, men have to grow beards. As if they don't grow beards, that would be very dangerous to the environment, for instance. Women have to wear full niqab and veil, not hijab. We are not against hijab. But when it comes to from head to toe, they have to be covered from head to toe. That does not make sense to many Muslims, Muslim scholars, let alone non-Muslims. That would segregate women from the rest of the society. And if they tell you that men have to wear short dress, the dishdasha, the dress has to be short. This is for them. Sharia for them are only these items. But when it comes to healthcare, they know nothing about healthcare. When it comes to education, which is the most important fundamental of the Holy Quran, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق, they speak nothing about education. When it comes to improving the economic situation of the Muslims, they know nothing about that. When it comes into taking Islam to others, reaching out to others, they know nothing about it. You know, last Friday there were two tragedies that took place. One in Kuwait, at a mosque, an Imam al-Sadiq mosque, when 28 worshippers were killed during their sujood, at the last rak'ah, the last unit of their prayers, while they were prostrating before Qibla, worshipping Allah. Someone who flew from Saudi Arabia the same day, a Wahhabi, who was brainwashed by his sheikhs, he comes and he detonates himself and he kills 28, and he wounds over 200. Some of them are disabled. They lost either their sight, their limbs. They are still in the hospitals. And also in Northern Africa, in Tunisia, three people who joined ISIS, they come and they open fire on vacationers on the beach. Most of them are European. I think 38 people lost their life, 30 of them British people. And I was following the news from Britain when they brought their bodies back to their country. Believe me, most of the people now, the English people, the British people, they do not favor Islam now. The vast majority of them, 90% of them, they have suspicion about Islam. Because of three terrorists, three radicals, three people who joined the Wahhabi mentality, the Wahhabi culture, they decided to kill and destroy. See how they changed the perception of several million people. And before that, you remember what happened in France, a few months before it, when they opened fire on some journalists. And before that, in many other countries. I was reading an article a few days ago that Islamophobia in America is on the rise. On the rise. And that's the responsibility of Muslims to change this. To tell them the truth about Islam. That our Islam is not about this. I said this today in Friday prayers. ISIS, they capture women of Syria. They capture them from Raqqa, the province of Raqqa in eastern Syria. They were selling them yesterday in Fallujah, in Iraq. 100 Syrian women who were free, some of them are daughters, mothers, sisters, wives. They captured them and they bring them from Syria to Iraq to sell them in the market as slaves. Slaves. This is Wahhabism. This is the message of Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. And America stands with Saudi Arabia. America considers the regime of Saudi Arabia its closest allies in the Middle East. America has two friends, one Saudi Arabia and one Israel. And you know what is happening to the people of Yemen right now. People who are fasting during the month of Ramadan, people who are praying, people who are going to their Lord, supplicating, they are being killed during the day and the nights of Ramadan, both, by Saudi airplanes, by Muslim missiles, Muslim airplanes, by an army whose logo is La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. He's killing the Muslims in neighboring countries, rather than taking education and healthcare and food and supplies and help to the enemies, they send them missiles. And America stands with Saudi Arabia. So this is one group of people who do injustice to Islamic Sharia. Those radicals who demand and they jump up in the streets and they call for Islamic Khilafah and Islamic Sharia, and they know nothing about it. They know nothing but the blood, but killing and taking women as captives, and killing women and children, and destroying people's homes during the holiest times. This is for them is khilafa. It means to murder people. This is number one group. The second group who do injustice to Islam and to the Islamic Sharia are the Christian rights in America. The Christians who became allied with the Zionists in America. And they are frightening and intimidating the American people by telling them that Muslims, 6, 7, 8 million Muslims in America, they intend to bring their, to establish their caliphates here in this land. So they're going to ask all men to wear beard, women have to wear hijab, you have to pray 5 times a day, men have to marry 4 wives at least. This is how they intimidate the American people. And many, few among the American people who are smart and they study, they investigate, they know this is not right, but many of them are naive and they believe and listen to these news and they take them serious. They take them serious. So, two groups we have who are doing injustice. Let me tell you something before I speak about Islamic Sharia. No single scholar in America today is calling to the restoration or the implementation of Islamic Sharia in this country. We all know that we are a small minority. American population today are 320 million. Muslims, they make maximum 7 to 8 million. We are a small minority. So no one calls for Islamic Sharia to be implemented here. And most of the Muslims, they respect the American Constitution. And if you read the American Constitution, you realize that the American Constitution, most of it, not all of it, most of it comes from the Holy Scriptures. Those who drafted it, those who wrote the American Constitution, those who inspired the American Constitution, they were inspired by the Bible, by the Scriptures. And therefore, 90% of the American Constitution is in accordance with the Scriptures. It's not against Scriptures. So we respect the American Constitution. And we always ask the American government to respect their own Constitution. And we ask the American people to abide by the American Constitution. We are not against it. Nobody wants to replace the American Constitution with a copy of this book. No. No, this is not our job. This book is not being implemented in Muslim countries, let alone America. No Muslim country today respects this book. So, no one is calling for Islamic Sharia to be exercised here. No one. Those anti-Muslim voices, they propagate against Sharia just to intimidate the American people. To intimidate them, especially during the election season. You will see in 2016, you're all going to see the surge in anti-Islamic sentiments in this country. You will see it. As we get close to the election season, presidential election, next year, 2016, most of the candidates, in particular the Republicans, one of their ways of intimidating people and getting their votes is to scare them, is to intimidate them, is to tell them that, listen, Islam is coming to you. So, you know, vote for me, I can defend you. I can protect you against the danger of Islam. For their political ends, what is Islamic Sharia? Islamic Sharia is a universal system that intends to bring happiness to all mankind, not only Muslims, to all mankind. And I'm going to tell you how. So the intention of Sharia is to bring prosperity, respect to all mankind. It has noble goals, noble maqasid. And the ulama, they put them in 4 points. I'm going to mention only 1 point. One aspect of the Islamic Sharia. The first and the most important fundamental of Islamic Sharia is to preserve, to protect, to respect human lives. Human lives, not Muslim lives. Humans. Humans are protected. In the eyes of Allah, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ وَحَمَلْنَاهُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَرَزَقْنَاهُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَفَضَّلْنَاهُمْ عَلَى كَثِيرٍ مِمَّنْ خَلَقْنَا تَفْضِيلًا. We honored, we created Bani Adam, bestowed and bestowed honor, dignity, honor and dignity upon them. Bani Adam are respected. How many times our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and our imams, in particular Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wassalam, speak about the dignity of the humans that serve and help people without asking them about their nationality, about their culture, about their language. Serve human. Your service has to be to the humanity. Help without asking people about their identity, without asking them about their names. Don't worry about their names, where they belong to. They belong to God. God has chosen that some of you are born in this area called India. Some were born in Asia. Some were born in Africa. Some in North America. Some in South America. Some in Australia. It's happened. It happened. Some of you, your forefathers came to America on a trip. Some of you were born here. Maybe by design, maybe by accident, we don't know. So being born in this country or that country, in this continent or that continent, in this family or that family, in this culture or that culture, has no value in the eyes of God. Allah says, you are all my children. Today I was asking my grandchildren, I have three of them. I was asking them on the way, I asked my grandson, where were you born? I really forgot. He said, I was born in Kuwait. I said, how about your sister? He said, Zainab was born in Iran and Ladir was born in America. Imagine, one family, each son, each daughter, are born in one country. Doesn't make any difference. They belong to one father and one mother. It happened that this was in that particular area at the time of his birth. We belong to Allah. What matters in the eyes of Allah, what matters? Taqwa. Inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum. Do not take a pride in your language and consider yourself because you speak this language you are better than others. Don't do that. You are under illusion. You are fooling yourself. Do not consider yourself because you were born from this father and this mother, this grandfather, this grandmother, you are better than others. You are fooling yourself. Allah would not look at all these things. He will disregard them. At the end of the day, you stand before Him. He says, show me your deeds, accomplishments, amal. Show me. What did you do? How many people you served? I'm not going to ask you about your language. I'm not going to ask you about your color. I'm going to ask you about how many people you saved, you served in this life. This is the answer. So you have to work. You have to work for the betterment of the humanity, insaniya. Not just your people, not just your race. Insaniya. So, the preservation, the protection of a human life is number one responsibility. Allah says no human being should be hurt. No human being should be insulted or degraded or disrespected. No human being. One day the Prophet got very angry. Very angry. Inside his house, he was sitting. A woman came to ask him a question inside this house. She happened to be short, very short. So when she asked him a question and she was leaving, one of the wives of the Prophet was sitting next to him, and she was physically close to the Prophet, but not mentally, not spiritually. She did not learn anything, any good qualities from the Prophet. Physically, she's close, sitting next to him, but spiritually, she's too far from him. She did this in her hand. She didn't say anything. It means that she's so short. The Prophet said, "What? What did you say?" She said, "I said nothing." He said, "But this, when you point to her, this is a big insult. You did something." The Prophet said this in Arabic. لَقَدْ قُلْتِ كَلِمَةً لَوْ مُزِجَتْ بِمَاءِ الْبَحْرِ لَمَزَجَتْ. You said something that if we drop this in the ocean, it's going to contaminate the ocean. Contaminates the ocean. You did something very gross. And you say, "I didn't say anything?" You are the wife of the Prophet. Is this how you look at people? You degrade them, you disrespect them, you make fun of people? This is not the akhlaq. This is not the manners of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nor the manners of those who follow him and belong to him. That's the message of Islam. The message of respect for all people. One day the Prophet was walking in Medina and he saw a group of people who gathered around a man who happened to be insane, Majnun. The Prophet said, "Why people have gathered here?" Some people said, "Ya Rasulallah, innahu majnunun yakhruq." A Majnun, insane, standing there and he's saying something that does not make sense, something funny. The Prophet was angry. He said, "You gather around a man, innama hada mubtala." Allah has afflicted him, tested him with this disease, mental illness. You're standing there making fun of him? Are you really Muslims? Where is your faith? You make fun of a man that you have to take care of him and cater for him and take him and cure him. You make fun of him? Don't do this. Islam is a religion of respect and humanity and love and care and compassion. We have to be sensitive. We have to be sensitive. Sometimes Allah decides to test someone. He could have tested you. He can't test me with poverty, with disability, mental disability, physical. He can't do that. It's a test. So Islam, the first thing Islam says, protect humans' life and humans' dignity. Allah says in chapter 17, Surah Al-Isra, وَلَا تَقْتُلُ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. Never murder a soul that God made sacred. And look at ISIS. ISIS are good at only one thing: bombing, killing, beheading, burning, destroying. This is Islamic Khilafah. And I am not surprised. Let me tell you what I think. I am not surprised at what ISIS does. Because ISIS does not follow Ahlul Bayt. ISIS follow the enemies of Ahlul Bayt. And you expect no more than what they are doing. Nothing else than what they are doing. Those who follow the enemy of Ahlul Bayt, because the enemies of Ahlul Bayt are the enemy of the Prophet. And the enemies of the Prophet are the enemies of Allah. And the enemies of Allah are the enemies of the humanity. So this is something expected from them to happen. We have to wake up. We have to tell the world that we have two types of Islam today. One Islam that is hijacked by the takfiris, the enemies of Ahlul Bayt. Another Islam is the Islam of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Islam of Ali ibn Abi Talib, who says to his governor in Basra, he chides him, he rebukes him. He rebukes him. He says, "Ya Uthman ibn Hunayf." The governor's name was Uthman. He was a good man. But he made a mistake. He was the governor of Basra. And there were Christians in Basra. So he did something bad to a Christian. The Christian came all the way from Basra to Kufa to complain to Amir al-Mu'mineen. He said, "I am one of your subjects. I live under your protection. Look at what your governor did to me." Imam writes to Uthman ibn Hunayf, "Wa'lam لا تبغي على أهل القبلة ولا تظلم أهل الذمة. Your subjects are of two types, Muslims and non-Muslims. Do not transgress against Muslims, neither wrong or do injustice to non-Muslims. Which is the same. Treat them as the same. لا تبغي على أهل القبلة, the Muslims, ولا تظلم, do not abuse or misuse the non-Muslims, أهل الذمة. أهل الذمة, it means they came to us, they sought refuge in the Islamic government here under the leadership of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib. I have the duty of protecting them, caring about them, making them happy. وَعْلَمْ. This sentence has to be engraved in the United Nations here, at the entrance of the United Nations. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ مَنْ آذَى إِنْجِيلِيًّا فَقَدْ آذَانِي. If you hurt a Christian, you are, it means you are hurting Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi salatu wasalam. We have to learn this, and we have to say this to the Christians, that our Imam, our sweetheart Ali, says if anyone hurts a Christian, as if he's hurting Ali ibn Abi Talib. That's the fundamental of our religion. And look at what the enemies of Ali did, ISIS, Al-Qaeda. How many churches they burnt in Syria, in Iraq, in other places, in Egypt. And how many mosques they destroyed. How many non-Muslims and Muslims they killed. This is their Islam. This is their Islam, which is supported by international powers and regional powers. International powers and regional powers. And you will see one day. You will see one day when they release the documents after 30 years or 50 years. You will see that ISIS was made in the United States of America with the help of petrodollars of Qatar, Emirat, Saudi Arabia and other countries. And there are some foolish people like Turkey and other countries who are supporting them. Logistically are supporting them. So Islam says human rights and human life is sacrosanct. وَلَا تَقْتُلُ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. Neither hurt, nor destroy, nor kill. You have no right. And therefore, Islam says to me and you, you have to protect your life. What does that mean? It means that God has given us this body, this soul, this brain, aql. Allah says take care of it. And therefore there are rules in this book. How do we care for this body? Number one, avoid sickness or illness. You have no right to drink whatever you like if that thing is not good for your health. Don't say I'm a free. I'm saying to those kids. Don't say I love, this is my body. I know what to do with my body. No. This is your body, but it is God given. God has given you this as a man and trust. Take care of it. So take care of dietary rules. Certain types of food you should not eat. Certain type of liquid you should not drink. In America, there is a survey, my friends. In this country, the highest rate of ailments is in the United States of America. Although we have the best doctors and the best hospitals, but we don't have the best dietary system. Do you know the largest amount, the biggest amount of obese people are in the United States of America? Do you know that? Why? Because we don't have doctors, we don't have medicine here, we don't have hospitals here. No. But because we don't care. We don't care. The biggest country, the largest amount of junk food on earth is found in the United States of America. They teach our children to eat junk food. There is no awareness when it comes to food, to diet, there is no awareness. So dietary system is important. Take care of your health. Teach your children. Teach them that this liquid is bad. I know you love it. I know it tastes good. But when it goes into your system, into your stomach, it's going to hurt you. Stay away from that. You know why we have the highest rate of ailments in America? Because the highest rate of drugs and alcohol consumption and cigarettes is here in this country. In this country. This is why we have to stay away. Stay away from drugs. Don't destroy your body. This is a gift. Allah wants you to maintain it. Allah wants you to be physically fit. Because if your body, if you lose your body, if you are sick and you go to see the doctor every day, you are not going to enjoy life. Not only that, you are not going to worship God. Many people today, they cannot fast. Why? Because they have a medical issue. Many people cannot pray, cannot bow, cannot prostrate, cannot stand in their prayers. Why? Because they have medical issues. Many people, they love to go to Hajj, they cannot go to Hajj because it's crowded and it's difficult for them. So you have to maintain your health. Allah says maintain your health. And maintaining health also requires having a good hygiene, nadafa. Beginning with your bedroom. Your bedroom, if you are a Muslim, if you fear God, if you love God, if you are a practicing Muslim, your bedroom has to be the cleanest. Your bed has to be the most organized. Do you hear this? This is part of Islam. This is part of what we learn in Ramadan. In Ramadan, not only we learn al-ghawth, al-ghawth, al-ghawth. In Ramadan, we learn how to clean your house, your bedroom, your surroundings, where you live. We have to clean that. I said the other day, and I said this many times here, that I travel extensively in America. And when they take me to an Islamic center to give a lecture, I tell them, don't tell me where is the Islamic center. I can tell. They take me to the worst areas of town. To the worst areas. Why? What's wrong with Muslims? Their homes are in the best areas, but the Islamic center, the mosque in the worst area? Why is that? What's happening to the Muslims? Why the synagogues are in the best place? Some of the churches, Presbyterian churches. You know, nowadays I learned, I've been in America for 21 years. If I pass by a church, before I read the name, I can tell you what church is this. Beautiful church, they belong to Presbyterian. Presbyterian church. They choose the best location. The best, the most beautiful, the most expensive. They pay for their religion, they pay for their God. And this is why God made them successful in their life. The Mormon, the best churches are the Mormon. They pay for the Lord. And when you pay to the Lord, God looks at your heart. He looks at your intention. But when it comes to Islamic societies, we don't pay. We don't pay. And we want to be the best people. In any masjid, 1% of the people pay, 2%. 98% they don't pay. They don't pay. This is a reality. Allah says, all of you have to pay. This is your house. This is your future. This is where your children learn. This is where you grow. You have to build it. إِنَّمَا يَعْمُرُ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ Who says that one person or two people have to pay? Only two people have to pay. Where is this? When the Prophet built his masjid, he was working and all the Muslims were working in building the masjid without exception. He said, this is your future, this is your headquarters, this is your dignity here. So you have to participate. So number one goal of the Islamic Sharia is the preservation and the protection of a human life and a human dignity. And we will speak about the rest inshallah tomorrow. Allahumma ighfir lil mu'mineen wal mu'minat. والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك غافر الخطيئات تقبل منا صلاتنا وصيامنا ودعاءنا في هذا الشهر العظيم وعجل في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.